Thank you for joining us today for this life-changing message from River of Life. If you are ever in our area, we would love for you to join us. For more information, click the link below or download our app in the App Store under ROL Crawfordville. Now, let's join guest speaker Bill Jenkins as he teaches from the Word of God.
Good morning, River of Life. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for the worship service that we have here. God, we don't take that for granted. We realize that there are churches all over this country that will never experience what we experience. Thank you for Priscilla. Thank you for our praise team. Thank you, God, for them leading us in worship. Thankful that you are a good, good Father. He that gave his only Son, how shall he not freely give us all things? Oh, Father God, we love you today. And we call upon you to do that, God, which only you can do. Speak to the heart of the people. And we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be home. Amen. We're excited about being back at River of Life. Thank you, Pastor Henry Jones, for your friendship and bringing us into this fellowship. And thank you, Pastor Chuck Coburn, for the privilege and the honor. And to say that I am honored would be an understatement. God bless you for that. We ask that you continue to pray for us next week while you're enjoying your Easter service here in an overflowing house with chairs in the aisle. Linda and I won't be here. We're going to be over in Live Oak, Florida with Pastor Wilbur Wood and the folks there at Mount Gilead Church, and so you'll be praying for us. In fact, I want to have my wife stand, if that'd be all right. Some of you may not know her. This is my wife, Linda. And, honey, if you don't mind standing up just a little bit longer, I like looking at you. And now go ahead and stand up if you don't mind. This coming Friday, March the 29th, Linda and I will have been married 50 years. And Gary and Miriam, where are y'all? Would y'all please stand? And just stand and remain. Say, they're on the very back. They were married 50 years yesterday. Brother Jerry, you and your beautiful bride, if y'all will stand, they were married 50 years last week. Now, what I'd like to do, real quick, if it's all right with you, everyone who is celebrating an anniversary this year, you were married in, 1974. Would you please stand if you're celebrating an anniversary this year? Anyone else? Anyone that is, there we go, Brother James, just, all right, anyone that has been married, okay, anyone that has been married longer than 50 years, would you please stand? I rose to a point of personal privilege there because I want to be sure that these young people know you can do it. You can do it. I tell you what, somebody made a statement recently that said, well, it wasn't as hard back then as it is now. Are you kidding me? Praise God, you don't know what hard is until you eat dried beans 5 days in a row. Somebody say amen right there. I want you to take your Bible, if you will, for a little while this morning and turn to the book of the Revelation. And I want to bring a couple of scriptures to you today out of chapters 4 and chapters 5 in a message that I have entitled Singing in the Throne Room. I don't know about you, but I love to worship. And I love scriptural worship songs, especially those dealing with Jesus and those dealing with heaven. In fact, I was in a store the other day, I won't tell you which one, and I wasn't really thinking about what I was doing. I was just walking down the aisle, and I was singing. And this person, some people, you know, you ought to be scriptural and lay hands on them. I mean, just walked up to me and said, you know, at your age, I bet you think a lot of the hereafter. And they didn't know how right they were. I go into the kitchen, I go out on the back porch, I go to the living room and wonder, what in the world did I come in here after? Amen. The truth is, however, the more I study the Word of God, the more the hereafter is becoming more of a reality for me. Paul the Apostle said this over in the book of Colossians. Hold your place in Revelation. You don't have to turn there. Just kind of jot it down on the margin. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. He said, if, and boy, what a big word that is in your Bible. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. I love the story they tell about old Granny Morgan. They said that they had gathered around her deathbed there in the hospital, and all the kids were there and the grandkids were there, and she was ready to go. She was praising God, and they were singing songs, and they were getting the last, you know, little entrance keys done about her funeral arrangements. And she said, oh, by the way, one more thing. And they looked at her kind of funny. She says, what is it, Mama? She says, when y'all put me in my casket, be sure and put a fork in my hand. And they said, well, she's lost it. She said, no, you don't understand. When I was a child growing up and we went to Big Mama's house, Big Mama would always tell us when we finished eating, y'all be sure and keep your fork. The best is yet to come. And she said, when y'all put me in there, y'all put a fork in my hand, because the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord for the child of God. Regardless of what you're going through this morning, regardless of what you're facing next week, regardless of what you are involved in, remember and rejoice, we are headed to a better place. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Of all the thoughts that a man can think, there is none greater than the thought of the blessed hope of being with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory for all of eternity. Jim Hill wrote this. He said, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. I don't know about you, but I can't hardly wait. Amen. Oh, think about heaven this morning. Think for a little bit about that song Bart Miller wrote. And y'all sing it here sometime. He says, I can only imagine. And in the song, he said this. He says, when surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or on my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Now that's a great song. Somebody say amen. Amen. But dear friend, you don't have to imagine. John saw it and he was allowed to record it for us. And it's here in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 that John is giving for us a glimpse of the great, glorious, gleaming throne room of God. As you turn to the Word of God, understand that he's talking about our eternal resting place, heaven. Heaven's going to be heaven because God's there. Somebody say amen right there. In fact, you got your Bible there. Look at verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, and immediately, I love that word, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat upon the throne. And he that sat upon the throne was to look like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne inside like as a emerald. I'm talking about God. Heaven's going to be heaven, not only because God's there, but because Jesus is there. Chapter 5 and verse number 6, the Word of God says, "And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four elders fell down before the Lamb." Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody get happy in here this morning. "Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Whoo, heaven will be heaven because God's there, because Jesus is there. Heaven is going to be heaven because the Spirit of God is there. Chapter 4 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "And out of the throne proceeds lightnings and thunders and a voice. And there were seven lamps of burning fire before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And then heaven's going to be heaven because the saints of God are gathered there. Revelation 5 and verse number 11. Y'all still glad you came this morning? Revelation 5:11, this is what the Word of God says. "I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them," whoo, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Hallelujah to God, we're going to be at home with the saints. Heaven is a real place, a radiant place, a restful place, a rejoicing place. Heaven is incorruptible in its substance. It is radiance in its glory. It's unfading in its beauty. It's unlimited in its pleasure. It's untouched in its security. It's undefiled in its person. It's everlasting in its duration. Heaven! Some of y'all not real thrilled about going. Amen. Notice, if you will, this morning, first and foremost, the setting found over there in chapter 4 and verse number 1. He said, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter." To me, this is one of the most beautiful pictures in all of the Word of God. John, in a moment, is with the Lord. We call that the rapture. Amen. And immediately after the rapture, he's in the presence of God the Father. You understand that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is no longer a promise. It's a past event. Amen. Just a memory. As we assemble there in the presence of God the Father, he says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in the heaven." Wow. One day you and I will have the privilege of seeing God in all of his glory. So much of the time we engage ourselves down here with the cross. And I know the cross was needful. That was the plan of God. Where at the cross, none of us could be redeemed. As a young preacher boy back up in North Mississippi, I went in to my pastor, Dr. Jerry Baker. And I said, "Dr. Baker, if I'm trying to pray, and when I pray, I try to envision Christ on the cross." He said, "Don't do that." And I said, "Why? I thought that'd be something good to do." He said, "Oh, no, son." He said, "Christ is not on that cross. According to the Word of God, he's been elevated. He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And one day you and I are going to see him in all of his resplendent glory. One of these days you and I are going to see the throne of God." I know that you know this, but the book of the Revelation might well have been called the throne book. 37 times in these 22 chapters, the word throne is going to appear. In fact, it begins with the word throne. Revelation 1:4, the Bible says, "And John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne." Again, the Revelation ends with the word throne. At Revelation 22 and verse number 3, he says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." And throughout the entirety of the book, over and over again, John brings us through the power of the Holy Spirit of God to the throne of God. But it's here in chapters 4 and chapters number 5 that the throne is emphasized. 12 times in chapters number 4, 5 times in chapter number 5. So of the 37 times that the word throne is used in the book of the Revelation, it is found 17 times in these two chapters. This is the throne of God. And no vile wickedness will ever be found there. This is the throne of God where God sits in purity. This is the throne of God where lightnings and flashings and thunders are taking place. We speak of the judgment hand of God. A doctrine that we somehow have put on a back shelf and forgotten. Do you understand that the Bible says that every one of us sitting in this auditorium today, everyone who's passing on the road out there, will one day give an account to an almighty God? The Bible says He knows our hearts. John 2:25, He needeth not that any would testify of man, because He knows what's in man. And dear friend, He knows what you're thinking about right now. He knows what you brought to church with you this morning. And one day you'll stand before Him and you'll give an account for this service. What you heard and what you could have heard had you been listening. But also in this wonderful picture that John gives us in the 4th chapter of Revelation, he says that there's a wonderful rainbow in glory. And it's an unending rainbow, and it's emerald green, and it speaks of the grace of God. Well, I don't mind preaching against the unrighteousness of our world. I believe God is a God of justice. Say amen right there. I believe He's a God of wrath. I believe that people are running up an account with God, and that account will be paid for either through the blood of Jesus or they'll stand before it and give an account. But dear friend, I'm thankful this morning for the grace of God. I'm thankful, God, that He's a patient God. Amen. I'm thankful that the Bible says that it's of His grace that I'm not consumed every day. It's of His grace that I'm not knocked flat on my back every day. It's of His grace that any of us ever get saved. It's of His grace that any of us ever get called. It's of His grace that He'll ever use anything like any one of us. It's grace, grace, and more grace. It's unending. It's all available. All He said is, call unto Me, and I will answer. He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He said, cast all your care upon Me. Why? Because I care for you. Vile and wicked and undone and unclean, but there's grace. Sufficient grace. Abounding grace. Loving grace of a heavenly Father. Well, I wish y'all helped me preach a little bit here this morning. I got to move on. My time is going quickly. Not only the setting, but notice, if you will, the shout of the believers. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 9, the Bible says, and when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat upon the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 4 and the 20 elders fell down before Him that sat upon the throne, and they worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns. That means the bema seat judgment is over. They're casting their crowns, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, and Thou hast created all things. Listen, woo! And for Thy pleasure, they were created. Satan has sold some of you a lie. You have bought into the lie that you owe it to yourself. That you deserve to live in pleasure. Back in my day, they used to have a commercial that said that you need to grab for the gusto. You know what your Bible says? God sovereignly chose you to live where you live, married to who you live with the kids you've got, for one purpose, and that's to bring Him pleasure. To live for His honor and for His glory, and to have Him live out through you a life that amazes the world. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, he says, be always ready to give an account of the hope that is within you to anybody that would ask you, well, why would they ask you? Because they see something in you that they do not have, and they know they desperately need. Oh, dear friend, but let's go a little bit further. Not only the setting, not only the shout, now the search for the book opener. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much. W.A. Criswell said, John was crying the tears of all of mankind. He wept profusely, uncontrollably, unconsolable. Why? Because no one was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. Verse number 5, aren't you glad God doesn't stop? The Bible says, one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the 7 seals. There, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst, I can see this. Hallelujah. Woo! We're there at the throne, and the word goes out. Somebody needs to open this book. And they began to search, and they can't find anybody. None of the angels are worthy. None of humanity is worthy. Satan, I'll open it. No, Satan, you're not worthy. And John is crying. And the elder walks up and touched him on the shoulder. John, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of David, of the root of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David. And I believe John turned, expecting to see a lion on the throne. Don't you? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And yet the word of God says here that when he turned, he says, and I beheld, verse number 6, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the world. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. John's attention now, here in chapter 5, is focused on this scroll. Harry Ironsides in his commentary says, this is the title deed of earth, and within it is recorded by a sovereign God the future of the present world, beginning in chapter number 6. The question, who is worthy? The answer, there's only one. Verse number 7 says, he came and he took the book out of the hand of his father. Then you've got the setting, the shout, the search, and now, hallelujah. This was, by the way, all that was introduction. This is my message. Y'all ought to be in some of my revivals. Bring your lunch. Say amen. No. Now the song of the blessed. Verse number 9 of chapter number 5. The Bible says, and they sang a new song. David Brimer and Ryan Hill got together and they wrote this song, Worthy of It All. This is what it says. All the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Why? Why is he worthy? The Bible tells you. The Bible says he redeemed us. He is worthy because he redeemed us. The word in the Greek is a very unique word. It means that something that once belonged to somebody was taken and placed on the slave market. And the individual that once owned it showed up and he bid and he bought it back. And then he took it back home with him and he set it free. And you and I, we were that possession. We belonged to him, but then sin came in. And with sin came condemnation. And with condemnation came judgment. But Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He hath redeemed us. But it goes further. Listen, the word of God says he's worthy because he was slain. Can you imagine? God giving his only son so that you could have life. Oh, y'all trying to act holy in here this morning. You knew who you are. You know yourself better than your wife knows you. Hello? You've been lying to her for years. Yeah. Hey, you know yourself better than your parents know you. You've been hiding. God's been seeing. And God has saw every sin. He's heard every lie. He's heard every cuss word. He is the one who is there, attentive at every conversation. And God says, as vile and as wicked as Bill Jenkins is, I still love him enough that I'm going to send my only begotten son, who's pure and holy, and I'm going to allow men to abuse him, and I'm going to allow men to curse him, and I'm going to allow men to pluck his beard from his face, and I'm going to allow men to slap him, and I'm going to allow men to beat him with a cat of nine tails. I'm going to allow men to put him on a cross. I'm going to allow men to drive nails into his hands and his feet. I'm going to allow men to thrust a spear in his side. And I'm going to allow my son to die because I love Bill Jenkins. That don't do something for you, dear friend. Your wood's wet. Say amen right there. Hallelujah to God. Whew. The importance of music, and I just want to say praise the Lord for Priscilla and for everybody that's involved in the praise team, because the importance of music is seen throughout the Bible. I'm just going to give you some scriptures real quick. But now, this is 2 Kings 3:15. But now bring me a minstrel. It came to pass that when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Ephesians 5:18, the word of God says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs. Psalms 32:7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2, he says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice. The blossom of the rose, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the exceeding excellency of our God. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransomed. That's me. Do like this. The ransom of the Lord. They shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. And here we're at the throne room. And the 24 elders and the four beasts are there. And the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands are gathered around the throne. And the Bible says in verse number 9, they began to sing a new song. Oh, by the way, this is voluntary praise. The song leader's not up there. Would y'all get a hymn? Let's sing a little louder, please. Come on, y'all get involved in this. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Oh, no, 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 dear friend. When you're there, ain't nobody going to keep you shut up. Say amen right there. Wait. Amen. And not only is it voluntary praise, it's visible praise. They don't just praise the Lord in the heart. They fall down and they offer him visible praise, unashamed to worship him. And then also it's valuable praise. The Bible says they cast their crowns before the Lamb. They acknowledge what they were and why they are there. And it's all about the Lamb. They owe it all to him. No big I's and little U's at the throne. And then also it's vocal praise. The Bible says they opened their mouth in unabashed praise. They loudly proclaimed their love, their adoration for the Lamb, because He is worthy. Can you understand that heaven literally is going to throb with the praises of our God? Warren Wiersbe wrote this. He said, "The song of heaven is a worship song because He's worthy. It's a gospel song, for He was slain and redeemed by the blood. It's a missionary song, for the singers are out of every tribe and tongue and nation and kindred of the earth. It is a devotional song, and that we have been made kings and priests to our God. And it is a prophetic song, and that we shall reign on the earth." Woo! Bet you sing a little bit different next Sunday morning when you come in here. Now I'm excited about taking my trip to heaven. Amen. I was joking with somebody a while ago. They said, "How come you always wear a suit?" I said, "I don't want the undertaker. I always wanted to die in the pulpit, and I don't want the undertaker to have to do a lot of extra work." Amen. And somebody said, "You know, if you keep moving, they won't throw dirt on you." Well, I just want to keep moving until He calls. And I'm listening for that call. I can't imagine a more beautiful scene than what we've just talked about. But do you understand that not everyone is going to experience this? In fact, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "Thou hast redeemed us." You see, only the redeemed, only the redeemed are going to have the privilege of going to that worship service. Only the redeemed are going to have the privilege of bowing before Him. The worship service, if you believe the Bible, is for a select few. The redeemed. Well, preacher, it said thousands upon thousands upon. What is that compared to all of the people that have ever lived? If you've got your Bibles, when you get home, Matthew 7 and verse number 14, here's what the Word of God says. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life." And here's the word. "And few there be that find it." Not everyone's saved. In fact, not everyone is going to accept Him. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. The thought of God preparing all of glory and you forfeiting eternal things because all of your interest was on the perishing things of this earth. The things of this life were more important than the things of God. How tragic the thought that you're willing to forfeit heaven and all of its glory for an eternity in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher, I ain't that good, but I ain't that bad." There's not an in-between. You're either going but you don't have to go to hell. In fact, based upon the authority of this Bible, I can guarantee you that you can know you're going to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. On the authority of this Bible, I can assure you without any shadow of a doubt your place in heaven. I can assure you that when heaven sings around the throne of God, you can be there. You said, "Preacher, you better tell us something." It's as easy as ABC and 1, 2, 3. First and foremost, it begins with confession. I must come to the place where I see myself as God sees me. Lost, damned, and undone. Sinful. sinful. Quit judging yourself by the vile wickedness of this world. Look at yourself and then look at the holiness of the Almighty God. See how far you fall short of His glory, Romans 3 and verse 23. Secondly, once you have come to that place where you're honest with yourself about who you are, then there is a belief. I believe that there's a God in heaven. I believe that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. And I believe that if I pray and ask Him, that's the third step, that He'll save me. You see, it's simple, isn't it? I'm honest with myself about who I am. I'm honest with myself about who He is and what He's willing to do. And so in very childlike simplicity, Jesus said, if you want to come to me as a little child. In childlike simplicity, I bow on my face before God. Romans 10:13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Preacher, does that mean me? You're the reason Jesus came. You're the very reason that we had this service this morning. You're the very reason that God allowed me to be called to be a preacher. You're the very reason that God allowed you to be in this service this morning to hear this man. You're the very reason He gave me this sermon to preach today. You are the very reason. Why would God do that? He loves you! And He wants you to be with Him for all eternity. Oh, dear friend. Dear friend, if I could come and take you by the hand, drag you to an altar and beat it into you. Every once in a while, the old flesh will flare up. Say amen right there. I want you to know He loves you this morning. I want you to know that He's prepared all of that for you. And one day you and I will have the privilege of singing with Him. Would you bow your heads with us, please? Father God, thank You for the privilege and the honor that's been ours this morning. Thank You, Lord God, for these people that have come and assembled to fill this building. Thank You, Lord God, for what You're going to do in the days ahead and what You've done in the days in the past. But God, we need You today, this morning. God, we need You to touch hearts. We need You to speak to people, Lord God, and bring them out of whatever they're in. We need You to fill these altars this morning, Lord God, with people who want to come and just say, God, listen, I'm tired of carrying this. I'm not going to carry it anymore. I'm casting it on You because I know You care for me. God, we need people to come this morning and find a place here at this altar and just praise God for the promise of the throne room. We need folks to fill the aisle. Why? Because when people are walking down the aisle, it makes it so much easier for someone that God has spoke to this morning about being saved, for them to get up from their seat and come and find their place here at the altar as well. And dear friend, I'm speaking to you this morning because I love you and this church loves you. If you're here today and you say, Brother Bill, I don't really think I've got this thing settled. I don't have 100% surety that I'm saved. I don't know that if the rapture happened right now that I would go with y'all. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'd be left behind. Brother Bill, I just want you to pray for me this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I will not come into you any way, shape, form, or fashion. I won't catch you going out the back door. But dear friend, if you would allow me as a man of God to pray for you this morning, say, Brother Bill, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. God's dealing with my heart, but I'm not sure I'm saved. Every head's bowed, please, every eye's closed. If that's you this morning, because of the size of this congregation, would you just lift your hand straight up, straight back down? Brother Bill, please pray for me. I'm just not sure. Straight up and straight back down. Anyone like that in the house? Thank you. God bless you. Others? Brother Bill, please pray for me. Thank you all the way in the back. Brother Bill, please pray for me. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Brother Bill, please pray for me. Anyone else before we pray? Anyone else? that would be honest before God and say, Brother Bill, I'm just not sure, but I want to be sure. Would you please pray for me? Anyone? 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 Thank you, brother. God bless you. Anyone? In the back on this side, God bless you. Anyone else? Join with me, church. Father God, in your name, we come before your throne of grace. And God, we're pleading with you right now. Send your Holy Spirit into this building like God has never came in here before. God, I'm praying that you would sweep through this building right now. God, there are people in here that are confessing, God, that they're not sure that if you were to call right now that they would go to heaven to be with you. But God, they can be. If they would confess you before me, and your word says that you will profess them before your Father which is in heaven. God, their name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning. This morning, they can leave according to 1 John chapter 5 knowing that they are saved. But God, they've got to come. They've got to come. And so, Father God, I'm praying right now in Jesus' name, do what only you can do, God.
Thank you again for listening to this message from River of Life. If this message has touched you today, or if you need someone to pray with, please contact us at 850-926-1200 or email us at info@rolcrawfordville.com. We also want to encourage you to visit us this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. in Crawfordville. Please visit us online at rolcrawfordville.com for more information and directions.